Svam va idam sada sari sa bhavan statonio.
Svam va idam sada sari sa bhavan statonio.
Maya yadatma pada buddhiriyam hya partha.
Maya yadatma pada buddhiriyam hya partha.
Yad yasya janma nidanam stitirikshanam cha.
Yad yasya janma
Tadvaita deva vasukala vadashti tarvo
Tadvaita deva vasukala vadashti tarvo
Tvam Vine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a bit of illusion, maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is not different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.10, the Lord says, Bijam mam sarva bhutanam vidhiparta sanatanam. Quote, O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences. Unquote. In the Vedic literature it is said, Isha vasyam idam sarvam yatova imani bhutani jayante and sarvam kilvidang brahma. All this Vedic information indicates that there is only one God, and that there is nothing else but Him. The Mayavadi philosophers explain this in their own way, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead asserts the truth that He is everything and yet is separate from everything. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Achintya Veda Veda Tattvam. Everything is one, the Supreme Lord, yet everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference. The example given in this regard, Vasu Kalavat Ashti Tarvo, is very easy to understand. Everything exists in time, yet there are different phases of the time factor. Present, past, and future. Present, past, and future are one. Every day we can experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening. And although morning is different from noon, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord is separate from the time factor. Everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time. But the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and no end. He is Nitya Saswataha, eternal, permanent. Everything passes through time's phases of present, past, and future. Yet the Lord is always the same. Thus there is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. But actually they are not different. Accepting them to be different is called avidya, ignorance. True oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of the Mayavadis. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties in its trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, Keshava tuva jagata vichitra. Quote, "My dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties." Unquote. The varieties are one and at the same time different. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. The conclusion is given in Brahma Samhita. The conclusion given in Brahma Samhita is this: Iswara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govindam Sarvakarana Karanam. Translation: Krishna, known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Unquote. Because the Lord is the supreme cause, everything is one with him. But when we consider varieties, we find that one thing is different from another. We may conclude, therefore, that there is no difference between one thing and another, yet in varieties there are differences. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a tree in fire. Both trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord is different from time. An advanced devotee consequently does not distinguish between happiness and distress, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. When a devotee is in a condition of so-called distress, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is always thus situated in Krishna consciousness, in any condition of life, he is described as mukti pade, sadaya bhak, a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. The word dayabhak means inheritance. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious, undisturbed by dualities, he is sure that he will return home back to Godhead, just as one inherits his father's property. Thus ends the translation purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 31st text, on the matter translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapters entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers, spoken in the Radha Gopinath Temple on the 18th of October 2008, in the 522nd year of our dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the east of the salt ocean, in the presence of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in His Archa Vigraha form. Hari Om Tat Sat. So Prahlad's 5 years old and he's offering these prayers. He definitely has the Guru Kripa, Krishna's Kripa. So this verse is talking a lot about the oneness and difference of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. that how through his material energy, Krishna is doing srishti, sthiti, pralaya, creation, maintenance, and destruction. He's transcendental to all these changes. Yet these changes are happening because of his desire, his ichha. The Mayavadis, they think that anything with form is material. But here it's strongly stressed by Srila Prabhupada that Krishna and his expansions are totally spiritual, Satchidananda Vigraha. They are eternal blissful knowledge with spiritual form. So they're not at all material. At the same time, they're manifesting the material energy. They're maintaining it, and they're destroying it. Destruction meaning winding it up, unmanifesting it. The Lord, when there's the Mahapralaya, whole material energy enters into the Mahavishnu, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, who's lying down with his eyes half closed, not to be mistaken as any kind of material sleep or ignorance. It's his own transcendental state of yoga nidra. And everything is dormant for some time, then again he remanifests. So he can do this through his different energies. This way God is one. He's simultaneously one with his manifestation. It's coming from him. At the same time, he's aloof. He's different. He's not destroyed. He's eternal. So this analysis of the personality of Godhead, of the Absolute Truth, it's considered the prime objective of the human beings. Animals can sleep and eat and procreate and defend themselves, but they're not able to analyze absolute truth, conceive about it. So in the modern life, people are thinking that goal of life is how to eat better and sleep better and enjoy the senses better, create better weapons. When I was flying here, I was in a lounge of the airport, and then one of the candidates, I think it was, the older one, for the American election, he was saying, you know, how we want to have the best country, the best weapons, you know, best life. He had this different, I don't remember all, but remember best weapons, that was like important. So it's basically saying we want to have the best eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Defending is important to be the superpower, right? But there was no, we want to have, you know, the best God realization or best understanding of the Absolute Truth or what is existence. So the unfortunate thing is in the modern world, people, Prabhupada used to describe it either as a barbarian because of all the animal slaughter going on, or as sophisticated animal life. We can do things in a more sophisticated way, but the ultimate goal, they miss the point. How to win the game of life. I heard that's the topic tonight for this youth. That's the whole point. If again and again we have to take birth, I remember once Prabhupada quoted that somebody wrote in a newspaper that one of the prime ministers of India took birth as a dog in Sweden of a very rich family, and he was very well cared for, fed lots of meat and everything, and given a good brushing with a brush from servants and massage and everything. So he got all he wanted in life. Didn't name who the prime minister was, but some rishi was seeing his life, what he went next. We may be a prime minister or a president, but what are we going to be in the next life? That's a big question. Nobody knows what their next life will be. So if we're not careful, we may lose out and next life get some kind of a horrible birth. In the Puranas, there's many stories about people who... So one man, he was very wealthy, super wealthy, but he didn't take care of his wife and kids. Didn't spend any money on them, put all the money in some hidden place. Then the next birth he took birth, he had no children, no money, he was born in a... But somehow he was born in a Brahmin family and had a very good wife. So then he went to Vishishta Muni on his wife's encouragement to find out why he was in this state. They said, because in your previous life you were very rich, but you didn't spend the money on anybody, didn't take care of your family, didn't take care of your kids, didn't do any spiritual things. Therefore, didn't do anything. Therefore, you don't have any money this life and no kids. So how did I get born as a Brahmin? And how did I get born how did I get such a good wife who's so spiritual? And he said, well, let's see. For 3 days you observe the month of Baishak. You did some little pujas and things. So because of that, that's why I got born as a Brahmin and a good wife. So Baishak and Damodar, these are the two special months in the year. So Damodar month is considered more dear to Krishna. But somehow Krishna also gave some blessing to Baishak. But that's another topic. Right now we're in Damodar. So get 100 times the benefit for any activity you do in this month. So most people, he asked Vishishta Muni what he could do. He said, well, now it's still the holy month. You spend the rest of it, is 1 week left, doing spiritual activities, and that should solve all your problems. So he did everything, he got kids, got money, and he went back to Godhead at the end. I once asked Prabhupada what to do for the month of Damodar. I wrote him a letter. And he wrote back, he said, well, the full-time devotees who are attending all the programs, doing all the temple activities, and so basically, you're getting the benefit of all the months and all the days. That this months are especially for the new people. So it's like in a supermarket. They have the regular customers, they come every day. If there's a sale or not, whatever, anyway they get all the benefits. But in order to attract new customers, they have offers, promotions, discounts. You ever go by a shop and it says 70% discount, everything must go? And you think, why don't I just go in and check it out? Maybe there's something, that I need. I save some money. I don't walk by too many shops. Sometimes in Rath Yatras and I get distracted by these sales going on. So it's especially good for getting the new people, encouraging the newer devotees, giving them a boost. But anyway, we're doing it. We're offering our lamp to Krishna every day, singing the Damodar Astaka and doing so many. But what about all the other people? They're not getting the same, they don't know. Actually, somebody told me their husband wasn't very interested, but somehow he signed up for the Gopinath Mandir Gita course in the month of Damodar. And there's a mahatmya in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, that if you read the Bhagavad Gita in Damodar, you get so many blessings, and it awakens your devotion, things like that. So, who knows, maybe you become a devotee from that. This is, anyway, there must be some kind of devotees reading Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya said, anybody who chants Hare Krishna once is also a devotee. You know, in India we went through so many historical phases, and it was predicted in the Mahabharata that many demons who were not killed by Krishna when he was here, they would get the blessing to take birth as brahmanas in the Kali Yuga. That doesn't mean every brahman is a demon, but there are some brahmanas who may have had this previous birth. So we know that there was, what's his name now? I forget. This devotee, he was, maybe someone will remind me of his name. He was a noble in the court of Hussein Shah, and he was a teacher in martial arts. So he was teaching the Hussein Shah when he was a prince. Subhuti Rai, probably. I always get mixed up with Budi Manta Khan. So Subhuti Rai, probably. And he was playing around during the weapons class. Martial arts is a life and death thing. You don't want to goof off during your martial arts class, because when you're on the battle, you might have, the thing you needed to know, you may not know. So somehow Subhuti Rai gave him a wick on the back with his whip. Told him, pay attention, what are you doing? Serious stuff here. Then later he became the emperor, the Hussein Shah. One day his wife saw this little scar on his back from the whipping, that just the one whip left a little mark. So what happened? He said, oh, I was whipped by Subhuti Rai. And then she said, what? You were whipped? The emperor was whipped. My husband, nobody can whip my husband. How can I tell her? You must kill him. No, he's my dear teacher. He's a friend. He, you know, because of him, I'm in this position. I could be victorious in so many battles. No. So women have very powerful holds over their husbands. I've seen many women make their husbands devotees. Through praying and prasadam and whatever secret mystic power they have. So, but she wasn't really handpicking him, insisting you have to do something. So then finally he thought, okay, what I'll do, I'll convert him to a Muslim. And he called him and said, you know, you whip me, my wife is really upset about this. So I had to take your jat. So he drank from a glass of water and poured it down his throat. So that was the thing, if you spit in the water or drink from it, if a Muslim would do that and give it, then bang, you're converted. It's a crazy thing. I was doing Harinam in New Orleans on the Mardi Gras. It was a crazy time. Everybody, many people are intoxicated. We're doing a big Harinam with 150 devotees going down the street, And then somebody from the second floor gave us an abhishek with some unmentionable beverage. I don't know what beverage, but it stunk like anything. So technically I would be converted, you know. But we just take a shower, you know. But somehow this kind of thing stood, because when he went to some brahmanas, like he went to one brahmana in Benares, I wanted to get purified from this. And then he said, well, you have to take 1 kilo of ghee, boil it, steaming. We saw ISKCON Food for Life, they used all the cooking in ghee. But this was a different kind of cooking. So you cook it, get it really steaming, you know, smoking hot, and then drink it. Said, I'll die. Yes, but next life you'll take birth as a Hindu. So this is how people got converted, because of the on one side, the other religion's program, and then this the fanatical brahmanas who would not take them back. And Subhuti Rai went to Lord Chaitanya and asked him, how do I get purified? He said, say Hare Krishna 3 times. Okay, you're purified. If it wasn't for Lord Chaitanya, we'd be in a mosque probably. No disrespect to Islam. We have all the respect for their worship. But, I mean, it's just a historical situation that people should convert because they believe in the faith, not because somebody spits on them. So that was the unfortunate situation. So like that, we had different religions, but ultimately everybody believes in Supreme Lord. If you look at the definitions, more or less it's the same. Creator, maintainer, destroyer, absolute, Supreme Lord, Supreme Controller. But somehow people still think that it was like many different gods. So this verse has got an extensive purport and tells us how to understand that the Supreme Lord is creating everything, maintaining, and then He's simultaneously, He's one and He's different. So we can get purified simply by offering a lamb to Damodar, chanting the holy name, doing many things. So this is a special month, bonus month for everyone. 100 times the benefit. So that means that, like, if you wanted to buy something, 50,000 rupee laptop computer, 99% discount. Pay what, 400 rupees? If everybody could buy a top line laptop computer for 400 rupees, everybody would be probably having one. So, like that, we can get spiritual blessings very cheap. So the regular devotees, anyway, they're doing every day, going every day to Mangal Arati, doing their puja, so they're benefiting. What about giving a boost to the people that aren't getting it? This is an opportunity for them to go on the fast track of spiritual life. So, for a devotee, they see distress and happiness as different kinds of blessings. I don't think everybody has the same wisdom. Most people like to avoid distress. But even if we have distress and we take it that Krishna is reminding us how we're so much dependent on Him. Once Prabhupada cut his finger, I heard this when I was in Canada, and one drop of blood came out, and then he said, I should have had my head cut off. Instead, I lost a drop of blood. Sometimes we suffer, but that wipes out big quantities of karmas. We take it as a blessing, or we may remind us that to take shelter of Krishna. In the Nectar of Devotion, it says that if we are walking and suddenly our foot hits on some stone or something, we get started and immediately we chant, Hare Krishna! Means, okay, you're going to be delivered this life. Sometimes people hit their foot, they don't say Hare Krishna. I won't mention some of the things they say. So, we want to train ourselves, and some misery, some distress helps us. If we remember Krishna, that's a good sign. We want to be trained in the happiness and sadness and all conditions to remember Krishna. Well, the best thing, of course, what devotees want, just like Bhagavatam says, Akamo sarvakamo va moksha kamo udaradi tibrena bhakti jogena jajeta purushang param. That if somebody has no desire, I mean they just want to serve Krishna, or they have sarvakama, all desires, because if you want one material thing, then you need so many desires to be fulfilled. Or if you have moksha kama, you want to be liberated from the birth and death and just get back to Godhead. You should offer pure, unadulterated devotional service. Tibrena bhakti jogena. Tibrena, unmixed. Just no condition. You just offer service to please Krishna. He knows what you want. He'll give you. Dhruva knew what he... Krishna knew what he wanted. He gave him everything he wanted. Later he thought, I wanted broken glass, and when I got the vision of Narayana, I got diamonds. So you may regret wanting some things, but anyway, if people do have desires, some of the mahatmyas for these holy days include things which we wouldn't consider as a brahmachari or as a pure, as a devotee. Some things are directly devotional, like when we hear the Damodar Astaka, these prayers by Kulashekhar Maharaj are so much pure devotional. He wants the blessings of Radha and Krishna. He wants to see always that beautiful face and futures of Damodar. So the highest thing we should really want is the pure love of Krishna, but some things help us on that path. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it states, in the Padma Purana, it is said, of the 12 months, Kartika is the most dear to Lord Krishna. To anyone who even slightly worships Lord Vishnu during its time, the month of Kartika gives residence in Lord Vishnu's transcendental abode. As everyone knows, Lord Damodar loves his devotees. Lord Damodar's month, the month of Kartika, also loves the devotees. The month of Kartika thinks even the slightest devotional service is very big and important. Lord Krishna is pleased by the offering of a single lamb during the month of Kartika. Lord Krishna glorifies anyone who lights a lamb for someone else to offer. A secret, those humble devotees that are sitting there passing all the lamps, they're getting super blessings. After that, there'll probably be a big fight. Now, I want to give out the lamps. So not only offering the lamp, but even giving the lamp for someone to offer is a big blessing. Skanda Puran says, charity, yajna, japa, and austerity performed in the month of Kartika bring a result. O best of Brahmanas, that will never be destroyed. Giving gifts to Lord Damodar, to Vishnu during the month of Kartika, brings the result that will never be destroyed, especially when the gift is food. How many have brought some fruit or something for the Lord? One who regularly offers food to Lord Krishna during the month of Kartika does not suffer problems. For as long as the 14 Indras rule, he is free of troubles. So that's one of the ideas, one of the points of Urjavrata or Damodar, is one should be a vegetarian. Of course, all of you are vegetarians, but some of the congregational new members, they're not all purely vegetarian. To get them to eat prasadam, to offer prasadam every day to Damodar and to take prasad. If you say, well, it's just for 1 month, you have to do it this month, Damodar month. For many people, and after 1 month, they may get changed, they may not want to go back. I know someone who was a vegetarian for a month. When the month was over and he tried to eat meat, he vomited and got sick, couldn't take it. After that, he couldn't eat it anymore. So there's a lot of this month is a really big opportunity to encourage people to engage in their spiritual life. Easy to get liberation. Oh, here it is. It is further said, O Narad, I have personally seen that a person who happily reads Bhagavad Gita during the month of Kartik does not return to the world of birth and death. Good time to have the Bhagavad Gita course. Hope they'll be happily reading it. During the month of Kartik, a person who with devotion sings, plays a musical instrument, dances before the deity of Lord Hari, attains a pious result that will never be lost. Vishnu Sahasranam and Lord Gajendra's liberation story, if you read it during the month of Kartik, you don't take birth again. So given by Sanatan Goswami. We're mainly interested in, we're only interested really in love of Godhead, but this thing can inspire people. Tiger of Sages. These are like Sanatan Goswami would take from different shastras. And said a person who during the month of Kartika hears the topics of Lord Hari becomes free from the sufferings of hundreds and millions of births. Lord Hari, the all-powerful Supreme Personality Godhead, forgives thousands of offenses and a host of terrible sins committed by one who worships Him during the month of Kartik. When one offers a Skanda Purana again, when one offers a lamb during the month of Kartika, his sins and many thousands and millions of births perish in half an eye blink. Offering a lamb during the month of Kartik, one attains a pious result 10 million times greater than the result obtained by bathing at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse or by bathing in the river Narmada during a lunar eclipse. Even if there are no mantras, no pious deeds, no purity, everything becomes perfect when a person offers a lamb during the month of Kartik. It is further said, by offering a lamb during the month of Kartik, one burns away a collection of sins as big as Mount Meru or Mount Mandara. That's a lot of sins. Of this there is no doubt. Here's for those with other desires. A person offers a lamb in a temple of Lord Vishnu during the month of Kartik attains eternal wealth, good children, fame and glory. So like that. So there's some excerpts from Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Krishna has given us some special opportunities. As Prabhupada said, we're regular, the devotees are doing full-time bhakti yoga, whatever, whether it's Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Damodar month, Baishak month, Ekadasi, everyone, they gain all the blessings. So for us, it's not a big, for those who are practicing devotional service, not a big issue, but our congregational ministry realized that this was an opportunity to help the new devotees or the potential devotees to make contacts and to cultivate them and inspire them, as well as to give a boost to the struggling devotees to get over many obstacles in their spiritual path. So as of about 5 years ago, we started a Damodar Puja program to take this Damodar Puja to the homes. This morning, Radha Krishna Prabhu took me to the ISKCON Food Relief Food Midday Meals program, and we saw how they're taking prasadam to the schools and giving people the mercy, the little children are getting some prasadam. So this is taking Krishna to the homes to get people to put Yasoda Damodar on their altar, to do a daily puja, offer a lamb during the month of Damodar, and to come to the temple more often and during this month, and also do the pujas here. And so this has been expanding in many places over the world. I have a 10-minute video I'd like to show you what they're doing in Kuala Lumpur. But I'm sure that if Gopinath Mandir puts their mind to it, they come up with more ideas than what they've come up. But you got it ready? What happened to it? So anyway, of course, we know any kind of program you do in this month, it brings better results. So this is a good month to get the devotees involved in like Harinams. Or we think like in December we do book distribution. That's our Prabhupada Marathon month. And this is like a month we can do a lot of outreach programs. Do you have one of those envelopes? No, the other one. The movie. Like they have a whole package that they give out to the people. Like for putting on their altar, they have a little, I don't know, how does this work? You got the other one here? Where is it? Little Radha Damodar calendar in the backside in case they want to put it on their desk instead, but they start off on the altar. They got a super one. So they put that, they go in someone's house, a neighbor, a friend, a relative. They tell them about the glories, want to give you a special blessings. They put like this, a little picture on the altar, and have everybody in the family do a arti to the picture and chant Hare Krishna. They give bring some little dry prasad, a burfi, a cookie or whatever, and give some prasad. Then the neighbors come by and say, what's happening? You know, and they say, oh, we're giving a blessing to them. In the month of this month, if you offer lamb, you get so many blessings. Oh, can I get a blessing too? And like this, you know. In the beginning, expanded like that. Now they make a whole strategy for a month before Damodar, how to do it. So anyway, you got it ready?
No.
Go. Sound. This is a very small temple. The Jagannath temple is maybe has a sitting place less than half the size of this temple. Not very small, but medium maybe. They have Jagannath Baladev deities. It's a house, a bungalow that they converted to a temple. So they're, one of their big programs, they have about 50 Namahattas. They have also 15 counselor groups, I think. Maybe not 15, but they have counselor groups. And they have 6 bhakti vriksha, they have everything. So all their initiated devotees, they keep under counselor groups, and then plus Namahattas for outreach. What happened? Well, the computer whiz is here. Can you? Everybody has to go to do their services. If you just keep it going, forget the sound. I'll see, one devotee in a flea market, I don't know what do you call flea markets here, like a bazaar, he rented a stall and he put a big picture of a Damodar and Yasoda. So they're launching there. And during the 1 month, he's going to freely give out lamps to people to offer. They start off with a gigantic ghee lamp. They're very dramatic over there. Banu Maharaj was there, some minister. The first lamp offering was 1,500 people. And over the month, he had 60,000 people offer lamps. And whatever, he put a donation box, got enough donations to pay for the stall. People coming off the street. This was a special Deepawali market or something. He took it to the schools. Malaysia's got about 15% Indians. So some of the Indian schools they went to, they can't just freely preach because 55% of the population is Muslim, and so you can't proselytize, it's illegal. They gave them also midday feeding, but this was openly prasad, Damodar prasad. So all the kids got to hear about Damodar, hear about Krishna. Then they offered a lamp, got some prasad, so it was a very memorable thing for them. Most of the people are Tamils, most of the Indians. So there's a lot of worship of Shiva, Durga, Murugan, Ganesh. You heard about Ganesh? Here, have you ever heard of Ganesh? They took it to the Deva's temple. There all the Deva priests are offering Damodar lamps. They want to get the blessings too. Universities, the different bhakti yoga clubs and programs. And the students made some rangoli. They're offering a lamp also to Damodar. Even people who are not devotional, if they somehow or another offer a lamp to Damodar in this month, they can become devotional. That's the wonderful blessing. But the main drive is homes. Getting people to different homes. Each of the groups contacted their friends, relatives, neighbors, everyone trying to, like, already had a plan. There's a Chinese lady. She's having Damodar now in her house. I just inaugurated a Damodar program in Balaram Desh in the Middle East, and their goal is to have 1,000 homes visited. And Damodar Desh, also 1,000, but this is their first year, so they say, give us a chance to catch up. This is the Harinams. And Sham Desh has got 500 houses. They say, we're a smaller yatra. So this, even the Middle East, they're doing this. You move it forward, maybe. It's going a bit slow. And so here, see, they started out 6 years ago, 25, 75, 220. Then last year, they did 3,850 home visits, and people who offered the lamps were 70,000. They gave all these different gifts. I'll give a gift here. We'll give to Gauranga Prabhu. On behalf of the temple. An extra one? Of course, within this month, Diwali also falls, so Diwali is usually a big thing. Very simple altar, short kirtan, one. One visit to a house maybe takes 15 to 20 minutes. It's not like a big extended thing, very short talk. Sometimes you have a group photo with the family, with their dhammadhar. This way, you can make many new friends, many new members. They double their congregation every year they do this. It's public relations, promotes Krishna consciousness. Festive mood. Anyway, even if it also said to feed the Vaishnava in the month of Damodar, to have them visit your house, it's also blessings. How many would like to have some Vaishnavas visit your house in this month? Even for the devotees, they can. Of course, all your counselor groups, bhakti riksha groups, meeting in this month, you all get special blessings. If the groups can do the outreach. Good month to give charity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
A few other quotes I didn't read yet.
It's a very benefiting program. It would help us to uphold our culture, especially the way our culture.
Heavy.
Nothing like positive
affirmation. Well, there's a few positive ones too.
One step with this, the Damodar event could be their first step. And there's nothing wrong in giving it a try, as I have experienced much peace by being involved in the Damodar event and festivals and attending simple events at the ISKCON.
That's a good quote. Some addicted to sins by offering a lamp gets purified. 100 generations of your family. Got any 50 generations ago or so, anyone who's not a pure devotee? So they were here. They were here. They left me a whole box. They got more of these things. They left me a box of them. Uttama Chaitanya, the president of Kuala Lumpur, he's become our special ambassador for the Dhammadhara program, and they've gone to Africa and Mauritius and India, different places, and some other places. I think they, I'm not sure they went to Australia, but like they had a whole tour that they were doing. They didn't make it here, they did it in Juhu. So I thought I'd just share some of these things with you. Because you have the biggest congregation. And when the devotees start going out and doing this kirtan, taking the people, it gives a good excuse to go to your neighbor's house, someone's house. There's a good opportunity to get so many blessings. Most people won't say that, no, I don't want any blessings. I give them the shing oil, I say, this is good luck oil. Even the Westerners, oh, I need good luck. Suprabhat ki! Prabhupada Charan Kijai. So hope that a bit late, but there's still almost a whole month. If you can use this kind of reach out, I think you'll find that you find many new friends and it's a lot of fun, and the devotees who do it, they get a lot of bliss seeing people offering lamps to Damodar and chanting and taking prasadam and things. So the Kuala Lumpur's goal for this year, and last year 3,850 or so, their goal, that's okay, it's really the same thing. It's kind of too late. Their goal is 5,000 homes. And 100,000 offerings of lamps. So in a small place like Malaysia, it's a huge impact. But some major temples there, the Murugan or Ganesh temple, they set up a little table with a picture and people come in. They got permission, they come and offer, they come and see Ganesh, and then they offer a lamp to Krishna. Any questions? Comments? What do you think? Think this would work here? This is South Bombay. So that's the amazing thing. We take something material like a flame or a food and we offer it to Krishna. But because he accepts it, Baba Grihi Janardhani accepts with our mood of devotion. So somebody's offering a lamb, some devotion is there, and that gets multiplied so many times in this month. Any comments? Questions? Yes?
Maharaj, just now you said devotional service is a process which has like Krishna accepts it, Krishna is a bhavagrahi. So, like,
Krishna is? Bhavagrahi Janardhana, yes.
So devotional service is a process which is more of internal than external. So how can we internalize this process? How can we deepen?
Oh, like in the beginning, so someone just doing the things of even mechanically. But by doing that, even mechanically, then Krishna accepts and blesses us, and then we get purified, and then we can do the things in a more spontaneous way. We go from Vaidhi Bhakti and we become Raganuga, we become more spontaneous. Even we do the Vaidhi, there's two levels of Vaidhi. One is you're just doing it because you're convinced that that's good for me, I'll do it. But you don't have a taste, and then later you develop a taste. Like just yesterday I went to visit a disciple's house, a devotee's house here, and he's rented a small flat for a huge amount of money because it's nearby the temple and come to Mangalarti. So he must have a taste for Mangalarti then, must have, you know, to invest like that. So this, then from having this enthusiasm to do the normal activities, then that increases, and where one actually, when they see Krishna, their eyes get filled with tears and they get some ecstatic emotions, and so it keeps growing up. But this is a gradual process. That's why we take, like, the month of Damodar as the opportunity to get some blessing that can help us to internalize quicker. If we can make a sinner a devotee, then what can it do to a devotee? Make him a better devotee. So these things are recommended by the six Goswamis. We should practice all these things. And Nectar of Devotion, it also in the, it says in the number, there's 64 recommendations, and 10, and 44. So in the 44 list, one of the number 38 is to practice the month of Damodar. So these are different things that help us move forward faster. Preaching. Telling other people, helping other people, that removes the obstacle, the offenses from you. When offenses are removed, you get more of a taste. The reason you don't have a taste is you've committed offenses. Your heart becomes hard. So then you want to soften the heart. So by helping other people to be Krishna conscious, your aparads and people are removed, and then your heart becomes softer. Then you have a deeper taste. Yeah.
Rituals are also sometimes like condemning Krishna consciousness. But rituals and devotion, in what case the rituals turn into devotion? Because many times there are different items are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So it becomes mechanical. It should produce devotion, but it becomes
like
mechanical.
Like which ritual?
Like, you know, we take sometimes charanamrut. So we may not take with that devotion exactly, no? Like, how the devotion to be pursued? Because, like, once I asked this question to one devotee, like, Goswamis, when they studied all the scriptures, and they brought out some, you know, essence of all the scriptures. So they did not become jnani, but they, you know, always maintain the devotion for the Lord. So in our case, but we become very much information-oriented when we study books or these kind of rituals we do. So what exactly, in what case the devotion is developed in the like process?
When we do the service, when we do it with the intention, we want to please Krishna, we want to please our Guru. There's the different moods you could have. One could just, I want to do it because it says that I can become a great king, and that means I'll be a great leader, and I'll become a corporate leader. And someone may have some material motive about it, so that may not bring the same speed of spiritual change. It may have some effect, but there's somebody, the more that we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, that makes it more of a personal. Even in the Krishna Nam Ashtaka by Rupa Goswami, he's encouraging a lot to see the holy name as a person, that it's incarnation of Krishna in sound, form of Krishna in sound, Sabda Brahma. So we start to seeing that things is very mechanically, then it's not. It will take more time to affect us than when we develop more of a personal relationship. But it's not like a black and white thing that, okay, this is a ritual, so Everything we do is, you can probably categorize most of the things we do as a ritual. So the ritual, what mood you're doing it, that's how it's going to become more deeper of a reciprocation with Krishna. In third canto Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni talks about devotion and ignorance, passion and goodness and pure devotion. So you gradually want to come up to the pure devotion. So the other devotions have some effect, but they take more time. Especially like if it's devotion and ignorance. Or you want to have some negative feeling for someone and you want to use devotion to get back at that person. Some crazy things like that. Yes, okay, last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, what's your name?
Saurabh.
Soya.
Saurabh.
Saurabh.
Maharaj, we hear that the words of scriptures that doing the Krishna conscious activities in such month and on Janmashtami and in holy dhams, we get so much credits. So many of our friends who have been practicing Krishna conscious and they have participated with us in such activities, offering ghee lamp and many things, but they have left from Krishna consciousness. So how we can understand that, who is actually more powerful? The words of scriptures are more powerful or Maya is more powerful that she picked them back? So how we understand? It sometimes shakes our faith also in scriptures. So how we should understand this?
There are many
this?
Factors to people leaving. Everyone has a free will. That they did some pujas and things, that goes to their credit. They still have credit. I met God brothers that had been away from Krishna consciousness for 18 years. And they come back and they say, wow, I thought the devotees, sometimes they develop, Maya is very tricky. They start being critical. Look at this guy, he wears different color socks and this one's a bit sloppy, and they start to becoming critical, and then they make some excuse. They really had maybe some other desire they want to enjoy first, and there might have been a way they could have discussed with a senior devotee, and maybe they could have even fulfilled some of those desires in some regulated manner, in a Krishna conscious manner. There's so many different factors of why people leave. And it's said that when the scripture says that doing this brings this benefit, it doesn't mean that, it means that it can happen. It has happened. It does happen. But it doesn't mean that in every single case it immediately happens. It may take its time, or because of some other factors we don't know about, it may not happen in the short term. Just like I met a lady, young lady, more or less, fairly young, who took shelter from me. She said that when she was 12 years old, she was walking in the street somewhere in Europe with her parents. She saw the Hari Nam party and she was immediately attracted. So, oh, I want to go and see that. And she started walking there, the parents grabbed, no, no, don't go there, it's not good, something, you know, dragged her up. It's all her life she's remembering. She saw these devotees chanting and they didn't know exactly what it was, but it was so attractive and she was so interested. So then finally when she met the devotees, and in person, and took up Krishna consciousness almost immediately. Maybe in her previous life she was a devotee. And so somehow then now she took shelter. Maybe initiation, I can't remember. But so these things can work in their own time. Also sometimes after you do the puja, then somebody tells you so many critical things. You hear offenses, and that's like throwing mud, like elephant bath. Elephant takes a bath and after it throws mud. So your consciousness gets polluted. And it may fit in, yeah, I don't want that because, yeah, it must be true. And So sometimes that we should, when we preach also, we shouldn't be too heavy on the rules and regulations in the beginning. We should let the people develop a taste, an attraction for Krishna. Yena tena prakarena Krishna mana nivasate. Let them first become committed to Krishna. Then they'll want to know, how can I maintain this spiritual taste? And if we lead a sattvic life, it helps. But in the beginning, we push sometimes too much on the principles, and people feel, I can't live like that. And so then they reject it. So you have to be a bit cautious. I know sometimes, like a family member, maybe the husband or the wife become Krishna conscious, they go and they start to like tell their husband or tell their wife how much they like it, and the partner may get freaked out. He wants to become a sannyasi. Why so much so quick? When people get old, they do all these things. How many times your parents will tell you, wait till you're too young for this, wait till you get old. This is the favorite mantra in India. But even my mother told me the same thing, so it's universal. But keep in touch. Don't give up on people so easy. Just don't be too heavy or pushy. Just, you know. Sometimes, you know, that I read about one person was coming to like a bhakti riksha group, and then they thought, this is like, they're changing our whole life. We're going to be doing like devotional service completely. We better move out from here. So they moved out to another part of the town, but then when the group saw that they left, they checked up with the post office where their new address is, informed that group over in that part of town, someone knocked on the door, and you know, hello, we hear you were in the bhakti riksha group in this other part of the town, we came to welcome, we have a group here too. Ah! We can't escape it. Okay, we just surrender to Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. The other one. I have some nursing oil. Yesterday for the youths I gave out our Ashtaganda, Ashto Sudhi. You want that one again or you want the Pushpaganda? It's all offered to Narsingadev. Want to try? Is it all right? Okay, make it. We usually do ladies first, but the men are closer, so. Otherwise, you can come out, make a line here and here. Oil offered Narsingadev, put it on your forehead.